You can see the answers. You see Paul doing that at the end of his letter. Thank you. I give thanks to Paul and whatever. You're all welcome, sir. Pastor Paul Abraham, you are welcome. Please stand up. Let's welcome Pastor Paul Abraham. Praise God. He used to be one of us over here years ago, traveled, got to Baden, and God started using him around. And he had this Abeokuta healing, deliverance meeting last time, last Saturday, if I remember very well. I believe that, you know, there are different gifts in the body. Paul was writing Corinthians, he said, apostles, prophets, evangelists, then talk about healings and miracles. So that's also a ministry of miracles. And he came, you know, that place was almost jam-packed, praise God. So he's going to come around regularly. You are welcome back to home anyway. How many of you remember we had a program for prayer walk that time, one time like that? It was the one that initiated. Thank you. Please sit down, sir. His family still resides in Ibadan. And of course, my friend, Pastor Akimbo, we met at the door coming in. I told him, every time you come around, you will share with us. So we'll do that. But let's start like this morning. You are sitting like my church member. Sit. Maybe Awalakuno. Can you move forward a little bit? At least on this side. On this side. Move forward a little bit. Our church members usually sit at the back. Is it like that in your church too? They start inviting them forward. Start inviting them forward. In my church, it's even worse because when I'm preaching, I go around to the front and touch them and do them for drama. So my people keep away from me. Because you never know what everyone regret and use for drama. You know. Let me start on this note. Christianity and crisis. The Christian faith is a faith of crisis. If you don't like crisis, you will not last as Christians. Crisis is part of our faith. Somebody said, I don't like this morning. Crisis is the norm in our faith. If you notice, all that God ever worked with, their faith germinated, grew through crisis. Is it Noah? Let's start with the first one. The first man to believe God in the Bible was slaughtered by his brother. Remember? Crisis. The next person that caused crisis was Enoch. Normally, you die. But there was a crisis. He didn't die. He just disappeared. That would have caused a lot of crisis at home. Of course, he didn't die. He lived for 365 years. And his son lived the longest in the Bible. Methuselah. Abraham, there was crisis. His faith triumphed in his crisis, seeking to get Isaac. Listen to this very carefully. Any kind of way with God that is easy and it's popular is not the way with God. Jesus said, don't take that way that is easy and everybody's going on it. Take the road less traveled. Only few find it. Why? It's a crisis point. I'm laying this foundation for us as pastors because we will feel the crisis more than anybody else. You know, you never know who will call at any time as a pastor. You never know who you're going to meet next moment. I was coming out of my house yesterday, going to somewhere, my phone rang, something has happened. And then you wonder, when will this all end? That's why our faith is important here. So, crisis, when I say crisis, even our very faith in Jesus Christ was built on crisis. On that Good Friday, when they got hold of him, the apostles were not expecting that he will be taken. Am I right? Am I right? It was such a hopeless case that everybody ran away from him. One young man tried to follow. They said it was John Mark. He was having wrapper around him. They grabbed his wrapper. He left it naked and ran away. Saturday, before Sunday morning, it was the worst in the history of the apostles. But it was not the worst day. The worst day was Sunday. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was so confusing. It was so confusing because nobody was expecting that to happen. In fact, we thought that they were expecting that. They were not expecting that. If you look at Mark 16, let's look at Mark 16, verse 13. And I'm saying this so that we can get somewhere. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Can you look at the screen if you are not, if you are looking at the Bible, fine. And he, what? Rebuked. He just rose from the dead. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. So, Christianity is always confronting us. It's always challenging us. It's always breaking our borders. It's always making us discomforted to give us comfort. Jesus even said that if you are rich and you are comforted, woe upon you. So I'm starting that this morning in this sense that crisis helps our faith. And please listen to this. Jesus, I know the devil is not working for God. But listen to this. God allows crisis in our life to sort us out, to make things clearer, and to help us get more accurate. Let's go to Matthew 6. So Matthew 7. Then Mark. I want to say something that will be almost the whole thing through our discussion. What I say we should open to? Matthew 7. Are we there? Okay. Look at this verse over here. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, are we here? And does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Next verse. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Next verse. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the rock, on the sand. And the same thing happened. Rain descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And there was this word along with it, and great was his fall. Now, notice, both of these people came to Christ. Both of them listened, correct? One did, one didn't do. Now, wait. Is it not more expensive to build on rocks? It's easier to build on the sand. But why did that person build on the rock? Because he knew that this was a crisis place. Hello? If there was no crisis coming, if it was an easy go thing, you don't have to build on the rock. The person who built on the sand was not bad. He was just thinking that there will be no crisis. I'm making some sense. So, the intention of the man who built on the rock was because he was aware that there will be crisis here. Rain is going to fall. Flood will come. Wind will blow. And I'm sorry to say this. Our fathers have not gotten us ready for this. They've given us pastoring without tears, ministry without stress, and service without pain. Hallelujah. Forgive me for talking like that. Let me start with my friends. I live near a stream. When I moved there, I thought, let's just put this fence behind our house and it'll be all right. So I called a bricklayer. He said I couldn't call myself, so he sent his boys. And then we laid the concrete to put the blocks on. I was feeling funny about that concrete because after a month, it was still soft a little bit. Concrete. You can put your hands inside it, it will just be soft. So, after that, we put blocks on top of it, and we're having a good time. And once in a while, the rain will fall, and it will really fall, and I will be wondering. So, one day, the rain really fell. And I saw the face leaving 90 degrees and bending like that. I began a series of prayer. To help my prayer, I got Opano to support it. One day, you know the way it rains now. It rains cat and dog, sheep and goat, and camels and donkeys. I just hear, boom! My fence was scattered, the blocks were scattered everywhere. I didn't pray. Why did God let it happen? I was making my fence with positive thinking, waiting for the best scenario. But I came to see that pray for the best, prepare for the worst. So I told myself, that one that collapsed is a lesson. So I called the bricklayer, this one out with the organ, everybody. We dug down. You know the things we do? We lay the mat, not the one you sleep on, but mat of iron at each subsequent place. After doing that, we now put concrete on top of it to sit on it, and then put the block on it. When it rained now, I didn't have to pray. Prayer left. The prayer I prayed now that God's watch over our house. But not once in a while, I still go out to go and check to see that everything, because the rain that is raining now is amazing. And amazingly, they passed the flood of that road, Idiaba, by the back of our house. So even if I had survived that time, I won't have survived now. We are going to discuss more today about this. The floods are rising in our world. The tides are increasing. No wonder Jesus said, he that endures to the end. I never knew why he said that. Now I'm coming to see that life is not 100 meter dash. It's a marathon. It's an endurance race. The bad thing I'm noticing now is that if you don't build well, when the wind and the rain start flowing, you will suffer the fate that you won't like. Look at our economy now. Those who have been sand and doing things well and preparing for the rainy day, they will just be going on now. But those who, you see, can see all the mass exodus abroad. So, crisis will come. When things don't work, it's a good news for a Christian. For the world, it's hopeless. But for a Christian, when things don't work, it's a good news. That means there are answers that we need to yet get. God uses rain, wind, blow. He didn't organize them, but he used them, or he uses them, to help us examine ourselves, to help us correct ourselves, and to help us also be at peace that what we are doing is right. Because if I build on the rock and the rain comes and I stand camping, I'll be happy that the Lord is faithful. But the other way is what we do wrong, that when things don't go well, we start really struggling. No. We should start looking for answers. I asked, which was saying that when things get difficult, he loves it. So, let me say some few things. Pastor Festus was praying about our finances. Let me just say some few things about that, then we move off. I left medical school to serve God. I borrowed a bag to carry my clothes. Because I was convinced that the gospel of Jesus is life-changing and it can sustain me. And if it cannot sustain me, what tell others? And for 9 years, I did that. But I noticed, looking back, the greatest place where I have seen changes that are very, very critical, they happen in crisis. Not for me to change the word of God, but for the word of God to have greater effect in my life. Some people rewrite the Bible when they are in crisis. They rewrite the Bible. But I noticed that let me give you one instance. When I started ministering around, then came Hope 93. Remember Hope 93? Before it came, I had a personal crisis. I just had a child. One was on the way. And I was not having enough financially. And I just knew that this couldn't continue like this. That didn't drive me to frustration. I learned one thing years ago that if I'm not getting what I want, I'm not doing two things in the Bible. John 15 verse 7. Take a look. John 15 verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I ask my guys to put that in capital letter. If you are not getting what you desire, that verse tells that two things either happen, one or two. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So anytime I'm not getting what I'm after, I'm not seeing God's word being fulfilled, the first thing I do, I get into Jesus. Or I get into his presence. I start, you know, in my younger days, I'd be lamenting, but now I go before Jesus. I go before Jesus. You know what? If you abide inside this place, the outside no longer is available to you. So I just get in there before the Lord. And then second, my words. And I'll go back to that word I've been thinking, I know. And I start going at it and start looking at it and start looking at it. And things began to change. I want us to fine-tune our discussion on God meeting our needs. Particularly those of us who are in the ministry. There's so much truth and so much knowledge that if you are not careful, will not be very accurate. Let's go to Mark 10. And we'll talk about subject today because this affects everything, even church growth, everything, crisis, Mark 10. Jesus was going somewhere and a young man ran to him and fell on his knees and said, Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? By the way, he was not asking to go to heaven. Because eternal life to the Jews does not mean dying and going to heaven. Eternal life to a Jew is the life of Messiah when he's come and you'll experience. The life is in the Son. He that has the Son has the life. Remember that? Okay. So, Jesus said, go and keep the commandment. Now wait, this guy was rich. He was young. He was a ruler. Political, economic power. And for him to run to Jesus and fell on his knees and ask him for eternal life, there must be a crisis in his life. Something must be biting him on the inside. Because he's comfortable on the outside. So he snapped up to Jesus. And Jesus said, keep the commandment. You know, he said, Jesus, I've kept all the commandment. I'm still lacking something. Please, are we here? I'm still lacking something. Oh, I'd like you to read this. Let's go. Mark 10. I've tied. I've given up. I've done everything that's supposed to be done. What's really going on here? Oh, boy. Verse 21. Take a look at this. This is amazing. Then Jesus looking at him. What did he do? He loved him. And said to him, in fact, Matthew said, if you want to be perfect, that's what he said, if you want to be perfect, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And of course, you know what the boy did? He turned away and walked off. Then the disciples said, oh God, Jesus said, it is hard for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. They said, Lord, who can be saved? Because they were rich themselves. they have their own fishing business now before they join Jesus. Hallelujah. And let's read this. Mark 10. Take a look at this. Verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. I'm talking about our finances, prosperity in a way, one way or the other. Please go back to that verse 28. We have left all and followed you. We have left all and followed you. Remember your call. Remember what you left. In fact, Peter said, according to Matthew version, let's go and read Matthew. Matthew 19. Mark was trying to be very nice, but Peter said it in the very wrong way. Let's go to Matthew 19. See, we said it. Verse 27. Then Peter answered, said to him, you see, we have left all and follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? I don't think God has left us to ourselves financially after calling us. I don't think, I'm just dealing with this for a few minutes before we get to our subject, because this will affect everything we do today. One of the greatest troubles today is economic. You know that now. I don't think God has just called us to. No, sir, both of you, I know you run school. No proprietor will ask teachers to come and teach in school and don't pay them. And no proprietor of a school will employ teachers and leave them at the mercy of the parent to dash them something. Oh, they will dash them. Oh. They will give them sometimes coke or something, food or something like that. But they cannot live on that if the school has a correct-headed and godly proprietor. Are you hearing me? I know my friends laughing because I don't care. But you know, you take it as a debt you hold them every month. Am I right? Because a worker is worthy of his wages. So Peter was asking the Lord. Let's go back to Mark 10. Peter was asking the Lord, "What shall we have? We have left all for you." Are we there, Mark 10? Let's read that verse quickly. And so I can get off this. Let's look at it. Let me offer this to you. Verse 29. So Jesus answered and said. Now, if you are using the Bible, that is a little bit different. It's a red letter. Am I right? This is red letter. This is as true as ye must be born again. Verily I say to you, that's the word for King James. I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. That time, no certificate. That time, there's no certificate. So we can say certificate, investment, for my sake and the gospel's. Are we here? Jesus was answering Peter back here now. Who have left? He said, we have left all and follow you. What are we going to get? What are we going to get? He said, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and gospel. Next verse. Who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time? One time I said, Lord, you should have slowed down. And just make it tenfold. Are you hearing me? Yes, tenfold will do. You know, that's where I convinced my mom. My mom, when I was going to leave medical school to go to God, she started looking for me. I went out of school. I was with my friend. My mother was bothered that she's losing her son again. So one day I traveled home and I sat her down and I told her, I said, Mom, you know, I went to school. But I asked her, I said, if somebody come to you and say, bring your 100 naira, I'll give you times 100 back. Will you release your money? And she said, oh, where are you going here? Where are you going here? I said, Jesus is offering me that. You know, I was basing my whole life on Jesus. And this is my thinking, that if somebody tells me he will take me to US, get me a job, get me an apartment and get me a visa. And we are about to go to Lagos, and he can't pay the way to Lagos. I will doubt his ability to take me to U.S. If Jesus can't keep this one, how am I sure of eternity with him? You know, it's amazing. I feel we are not happy on our call. We are not happy on our call. We are depending upon the environment around us. We are not, you are called, it's not a matter of what you are called. Say, for my sake and for the gospel's. For my sake and for the gospel's. So it dawned on me clearly, I must understand who is talking and the gospel. Because he said, for my sake. I hope I'm making some sense here. He said, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. He didn't put wife there because they won't get 100 times wife. You get 100 fold of the wife. I mean, quality of the wife will be 100 times. We are Solomon. With persecutions. That I didn't understand. You have plenty. Who is going to persecute you? I found out that. The same story, if you remember, Isaac got an hundredfold and the Philistines persecuted him. And in the age to come, eternal life. So in the realm of the spirit. But now in this time, then it dawned on me that I have a facility, a financial facility with Jesus. Not with the world, because nobody can do that. Who promised you hundredfold? When I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, who can deliver this? The Lord said, the only place you find that kind of multiple food is in the Greek world. If you look at the plant around you, they multiply many food. If not a Greek, we'll have been starved on this planet. We plant one seed, how many crumbs will we get on it? So it's working there already. It's working there already. So I want to present to you this morning that what have you left for his sake and for the gospel? Hallelujah. Have you left it all just for Jesus and for the gospel's sake? Listen, I don't know what that is. Is Jesus paramount on your mind and the gospel paramount on your mind? Because that's what you leave this thing for. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? By the way, let me close. I'll go to our subject today. One day I was asking myself, how can I give something for Jesus' sake? Listen to this. The day I discovered this was amazing. I said, how can I? Now, I know for the gospel, all right? Let me surprise you. It didn't say for the ministry. It said for the gospel. You can be busy in the ministry and forget the gospel. The investment is in the gospel and in him. So one day I said, Lord, what does it mean to give for your sake? And it took me to this story that was amazing. I never read like that before. I was giving theology of it. He said, in the last days, when the Son of Man ascends his throne, he will put the sheep on his right hand and put the goat on the left. Are we listening? He said, and he will say to the sheep, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you took care of me. There are about five of them. I don't know, only four. Anything else? When I was sick, thank you, sir, you took care of me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like this? He said, if you have done it for any of the least of my brethren, you have done it for me. Then pop up, open my mind. That actually giving for the sake of Jesus is finding, and I discover afresh, a new presence of Jesus. Not just in church during service, but in the poor, and in the sick, and in prison. A had never been told that Jesus' presence is with those people. I've been told that we need to pray, seek the Lord to get his anointing presence in our midst. But he said, what you did for them, you did for me. So that poor brother is Jesus manifesting. That sick brother, that in prison. You know, he don't know me that when I give like that, there's going to be hundredfold coming back. Some things I've experienced, I don't want to say it. I started proving it, and it's amazing. Pastor Kimbo is over here. They have staff working with them. You have the account number where you transfer the money to. Am I right, sir? He knows your account, and he knows what you need, and he will transfer to you. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. He will transfer to you. I want us to see that. I want us to go back and spend time on these verses, that we should be running for Jesus' sake and for the gospel. That's why you will see Paul carrying things for the poor, running around. In fact, when the apostolic council formed, when they had apostolic council, let's go to chapter 1 Galatians, chapter 2 Galatians. When they were dividing the earth under their ministry, and the Bible said that Paul said he went up by revelation to the church in Jerusalem. See, some things that we have not really explored. We need to explore. From Jesus' point of view, and Paul said, I went up to those who are before me. And he meant three pillars of the church. And he called them James, Peter, and John. And amazingly, their books follow themselves like that. If you go to the Bible, you find James first, then you find Peter, then you find John. You know? Let's look at chapter 2 Galatians. Let's just read it. Galatians 2. I'm talking about money. The poor often. Take a look. Where do we start from? Okay, let's start from verse 8. Okay, sorry, verse 7. But on the contrary, when the pillars saw that the gospel, see that word again. The gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. So the gospel, today we have confused it with ministry. It's called the gospel, the ministry of the gospel. You serve the gospel. You run for the gospel. And I'm talking about that for a few minutes today. The gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. Next verse. And for he who worked effectively in Peter, for that's possible to the circumcised, also worked toward the Gentiles. So there was a division of work. Next verse. But listen to this. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas what? Right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and to the circumcised. Next verse. Except they desire only that we should what? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And Paul said back, the very thing. So, anybody who calls himself an apostle must have this eagerness, or you're not an apostle. Drop the title. Pick the function. Anybody, when Jesus got up in his hometown to announce his gospel that he's going to preach, remember Luke 4:18? He says, but for me, because I wanted me to preach the gospel, the very first group he mentioned was the poor. Check it out. So, no government will take care of the poor except the church. No government. They can't do it well. Go abroad too. You see it. Hallelujah. Understanding, that's what we call fellowship in the Bible. The word fellowship actually means sharing. Fellowship means sharing. Particularly sharing of. And God, see, the apostles had so much money at their feet distributing it. Remember that? Remember that? May God bless us like that. That will become distributors of his blessing. Amen, 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 amen. Let's stop there. Let me come now later as Pastor Kimbo come and share with us. Let's talk about, looking at this now with that crisis and Christianity will help us open our eyes to go back afresh to our Bible. You know, I want us to see this. You don't know, you don't, a lot of things you don't know. A lot of things you have misunderstood in Christianity. You say, me too. Me too. A lot of things I think I know, I really don't know it. But then how will God bring you to understanding? He brings you to crisis. Are you hearing me? When you come to crisis, when things don't go the way, when things are confused, God is telling you that, hey, you need to adjust, learn some few things over there. So every time you see things going bad, don't just start always screaming and wondering, where is God? God is right down there and is trying to rewrite certain things for us. You see, Jesus, oh boy, I wish I had the time. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, his disciples had a serious crisis. They had to rearrange their mentality and shift paradigm kind of a thing. Jesus now took two of them, remember, on the way to Damascus, on the way to Emmaus. While they were going, their heads were like this. Jesus said, "Kilo Shei." They said, "Don't you know?" To Jesus himself. "Don't you know that this has happened in Jerusalem?" He said, what happened? He said, about Jesus, we were hoping that would be our hope, and we thought I would do something. Jesus said, "Oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe." I wish I was in that meeting. If there's any meeting I want to get to for that meeting. And the Bible says, Jesus and began to unfold from the old scriptures the things concerning himself, how he had to die. And see, unfolding, clarifying things, expanding their view, stretching their perspective. When he finished, they got near their house. He said, don't go. Come and eat with us. He finished eating, broke the bread, something happened to disappear. He said, our heart burned. A little bit of that. He was burning all that dross. All that. See, a lot of things you think you know in the Bible. I'm not Kenneth Hagin. One time Kenneth Hagin had an experience with Jesus. And something happened. Hagin said, "Lord, I have not seen it in the Bible. I've read the Testament 150 times. Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, I said, a lot of things you don't know in that book." You know why I agree with him? I was a voracious reader in secondary school. I will finish novel big like this within 3 or 4 days. After I got saved, they gave me a Bible. I said, this one won't last me 1 week. For 3 years, I've come and gone. I'm still reading this. You know, just something in there. Now, let me now talk about church. Let's shift to church now. Something had happened through COVID. Crisis of COVID. And I want us to talk about that today. Another way of church growth. Something has happened. COVID had done certain work that if you are not careful, we will be left pre-COVID. And it won't be easy for us. What has COVID done to us? In 3 areas of our work. Number 1, the ministry. Number 2, the membership. And number 3, the gathering, the attendance of the church. And we need to see this. You can ask around the world about church. Before COVID, we were almighty. We are thinking that we are taking the world. Motivation speakers, they are their best. We were building giant churches. Then COVID came and emptied all of them. I got a friend abroad. He's telling me they have not fully returned yet. So, 3 things have been affected. Number 1, the ministry itself. Number 2, membership. Number 3, attendance. If anybody is anybody here, I know you have been doing some live streaming somewhere or the other. Huh? And if I'm going to be honest with you, once in a while you feel like turning off the live streaming so that I can come to church physically. And let me talk more deeper. And it's frustrating because they don't give offering when they are watching. Some do. But unlike when you are coming to church, they are coming physically, they have pressure around them beside the pressure of God in heaven. They say, Timba, give my feedback on. But when you are watching your room, it's your account. You may transfer or not transfer. Am I making some sense? These are all detrimental to the church as we know church. The ministry will have this glory. I'm going to build a ministry. I'm going to affect the world. We're going to have church. The second, we know our membership. I want to see you sitting down, go through different classes. Am I right? I've always wondered about that thing. I have this question behind my mind. Are they members of RFC or members of the body of Christ? Anybody like me? Before COVID. After COVID, it got bigger. Does it take all that classes to make heaven? Do you have to go for 3 months baptismal class before you get baptized in water? The eunuch said to Philip, here is water. What stop from getting baptized? Oh, you have to go to 3 month course. he's talking to me. I'm talking about membership now. I'm talking about things we have, things that have been changed. Wow. So who is our member, Gongo? Used to bug me. And if you're this church member, you can be another church member. Are you around? So when they go abroad, we go and establish a church to contain our members. Please don't get me wrong. Our membership too. But I've been confused by it. Because when I finish 3 months on this one, before 3 months, transfer to Lagos. Oluwa Jesu. Gbogbo investment yet in law. Oh, I used to have leaders over groups. And then they started working, and then they said, I'm promoted. My bank said I'm going to Zungeru or something. I feel like saying a bank close in. Same with the spiritual things. They don't care about spiritual things. They don't care about that. And then I started having both assistants and leader to be there all the time, because if one fall off, second one will do. And all of us over here, we have seen the effect of Japa. They don't care about their hierarchy in church. In fact, that's why they tell you a week before they go. That happens to your church too. Oh, we're in the same boat. Reverend Mwari, just know that they are traveling. And I've learned something very serious that I should pray for them and bless them, because in the future something will happen, they need me. So at least in my member, at least in my members. Then something else happened that scattered everything. I know that I grew up in a society where you are either in the spirit with us or you are on the ground. Are you hearing me? Oh, sorry, I'm not in church, but I was sitting in the spirit. Then there's a third factor, online. That scattered everything. So we cannot have three spaces. We have in the spirit, we have on the ground, then we have online. While I was thinking about, are you with me? I'm talking about, we are in a new shape now that we have to really find our feet. And our fathers can't help us much, because they have lived that story that is changing. My dad didn't go to school. I went to school. So I remember one day I went to go and meet him and said, I went to do my jam. And I was having confusion. Should I pick engineering or medicine? My dad said, Olu Dambe. he said, no, he would pay the school fees, but he couldn't advise me at that level. Make you laugh. Have you ever had your children coming home and say, Daddy, this particular mathematics, they say we should find the answer? You tell them, Lord, beg my head. No, you pay school fees. You went to school too, but what you call it? You are not bad. You are not evil, but things have changed. That's a new shifty, you know, a new perspective to this thing. Oh, calculus, include the calculus, calculate, really. You know. That's even good for secondary school. When they come from university, you can't even touch their work. And you can say, bless you, the Lord increase you and multiply you. As their father, pastor, praise God. So, what we are dealing with now, membership, ministry. You know that time, our ministry was just, we want to grow our ministry, be something, do something. Now, let me tell you the problems before COVID that we didn't notice. We didn't properly assess what Christ wanted us to do. We just, particularly we black people, we follow whatever is in vogue. Let me talk some things I don't know about here. Certain things have already been going on that we didn't notice, but we need to talk about it. The first one is that a lot of us, we were in these things to get some glory out of it. Let's be honest, including myself. We wanted to just, do you know me? You don't know me in this town? One of the major ministers in Nigeria today, like one man of God, he came to see us years ago. Pastor George Adeboye, he came to Trem. So I want to mention him so you know what I'm talking about. He came to Trem to become a minister for Bishop Oke. And while he was ministering, he now said, I was in the meeting. He said he had a revelation. I started listening, because this is direct. He said, we were as if they were in a hall. And he said, Nigeria, they began to call from the heaven the name of ministers. And he said, the first one that they called, there was no big name among them, including his own name. Wala Bele. So that put me to crisis, but I didn't want to get to that crisis. That was years ago. He was saying it. Do you notice that today, our people glorify themselves as belonging to us? I am Redeemite. I am Rock Foundationite. I am Baptist. I am Methodist. I'm, you know, all that glory, and it's amazing that we all want that. We want to be big enough to have Camp Babadeboye. We want to be able to have name, and then we see all this category on Facebook, richest pastors, most influential pastors. And then we want to have global influence. So, that was something is going on here. That's one. The second problem that I noticed that was already before COVID is that we don't only seek our own glory, we seek the glory of the people. We entice them that their star will shine. They become somebody. Then they come. Am I right? Ogore, Irawore. But you will notice something. I'm just talking, oh, if you see all the churches, moment they get that to go, what can feel any? Or they are busier. Am I correct? Moment they get bigger, they just until the next crisis, they start calling you on the phone. And I know many of you over here, you look at the phone, you say, should I walk in the spirit or should I walk in the flesh? Okay, as you be a nice man of God. Okay, close ekpele. I pray for you. You are saying, Lord, King of Belize. Thank you. I'm just being honest this morning. So we are gathering them around either our own glory or their glory. When we do any program, you can't say, we're going to do a seminar on humility. Nobody will come. said, you're going to do prayer for Kenekota. You know the Lord. No, we won't come. He said, that's prayer for your next step to take place. And all your helpers will manifest. Then I start feeling pain. Say, well, can anyone help me? You know, I mean, are you the center of the universe? You know, it's not bugging me. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Because you are all individuals and we are all important. For instance, you are important, I'm important, I'm important, I'm important. If you are all important, you can't just make me to come and serve you all the time now. Oh, God. So, that. Don't mind me. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling. Then something else I noticed, the third one I want to finish over here, is that we are becoming too much civilians. We were getting too much into politics and to all kinds of things and just wrong. Let's look at our Bible, 2 Timothy 2. When I read this kind of verses, it bugs me. Let's look at verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. Take a look on the screen. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, there's something about soldier or soldiery. That's a commitment to the commander-in-chief. Unquestioned obedience. And second, the desire to enlarge the territory of that commander-in-chief. They will break out in any part of Nigeria that want to succeed. In fact, you are noticed by how far you fight for the interest of the country. And as a soldier, there's something about the civilian that is bad. If you notice, I was telling my wife, I said, civilian, don't. See, just the mere agbada wearing tells you that they're not going anywhere. You can't do anything serious wearing agbada. You can wear it on Sunday or something for occasion. But to wear agbada, it's enough to go to move wherever, let's say, you know? I'm not against agbada, you know, I have one or two, you know? Relax. But what I'm saying, see all these guys, just like, but even sometimes I look at even the head of institutions in Nigeria, like hospital, like university, and just wear agbada. When I was growing up, what we know is that you will see, oh, Fasola is one of those guys, governor of Lagos. He's Muslim. You know, St. James, he's walking, he's been somewhere, he's going somewhere. I was told that in Lagos, by Saturday, he'd be looking at project. Things are done, you never know anything about, and doesn't want it. You go without press. That sense of building and pushing and going and never retire. My wife and I were watching Israel and Hamas. And the spokesman that came up to talk for Israel, my wife said, look at him. I said, what? He said, there are no decorations on him. There are no decorations. Nigeria, we decorate to the minimum, maximum. Just put the beret over here. We are in war. You know, they slept off. And they were caught. You know why Israel was attacked like that? There was division in the house. They have been fighting themselves for months. So they couldn't pay attention. A house divided against them shall not stand. Next verse. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. Come on. You know, I'm sorry to say this, forgive me. I don't hear people, big guys saying that I'm committed to Jesus Christ. It's to their ministry, to this work. I don't hear, you see, I'm sorry to say this, forgive me. I don't see people, you can listen to people on anywhere. Do you see men of God, women of God talking about Jesus? And I'm committed, I'm going all the way. It's no longer said, but I believe I can. The new relevance is just who you are and what you want to be and how to have a clout. That was going on before COVID. I guess God allowed that to just wreck that ball that's moving on a terrible speed of destruction. They're becoming two civilians. There's no more sense of souls are going to hell. This world, you know, we got to a point where we are thinking that we're going to have heaven on earth before COVID. Things are working well. Technology is there. We can do anything. And bam, on our faces. That we know that we are normal human beings. And one small virus sent all of us packing. God was telling me that this planet is not that what you think it is. And the Lord warned me, when COVID came like this, the Lord said to me, I wrote it down in my diary. He said, I'm warning you and get ready for what is coming ahead. This is just a child play. That all this virus you see, things are going to take place in the people's inner architecture. Lives that will be affected, that will not, and I know the economic will come. Societal part will come. You can see the economy now. You go abroad too, they are complaining about inflation. Things are increasing. My friend was telling me, we bought bread this amount last year. We are buying bread this month. He said to me that his mortgage, his rent that they pay, he said, it's gone twice the amount before. I said, that's like Nigeria. So, this thing, that's our problem. We're becoming too civilian. We're looking for glory for ourselves. And we glory for the people. It got to a point where we are thinking of even having our own political party. So that we can counteract all those Muslims. Right? I'm not against that. But Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers will fight and I will not be delivered to your hands. I feel that church has been really abused. Sorry for saying this. Many people, I won't say just us, all of us, I won't say all of us, but you know, they have used the church as a stepping stone to where they are going. And maybe you are in this thing for a while, so you can find something else to do. Just want to, please, the way things are going on now, the church won't be that available to you anymore. To do whatever you want to do so you can get to where you are going to go. The church won't be your vehicle anymore. It's going to be tougher. You know, our fathers could do that. They could raise things up. They could put things up. They could, like one GO, one big GO told his leadership, he said, we can open a church, put our name on the building, and put a pig as the pastor. They will come. Because this new world, branding, has invaded our world. But I want to talk about branding. I want you to know about branding. People like branding. So I want to be branding. Before you brand me, I know the branding. So I want to talk about a new way to church growth. So what are we going to do now? I wrote some things down I want us to look at. What's the way forward? If we're going to have church growth in the sense, we have to first of all stop thinking the way we were given. That church growth is just physical, numerical growth added to us. First of all, if you go through your New Testament, they never use that word growth for number. It will say they increase in their number, but never the word growth. The word growth was only preserved for maturity of the people. Let me say that one more time. The word growth was not made for larger number. It was built for growth of the people. You see, this number drive, it's important to have number. But if you go to Funab near you over there, it's not how many that enter. They count how many of their products. First class, second class, upper. Professors who have come out. Am I right? Am I right? When they want to glory of Funab, they don't glory that. We have 25,000 students and faculty members. Quota anywhere. How many papers have you released? How many doctors? How many people that are engaged in grant and stuff around the world? That's their growth. The growth of the university is not in. You know what? Refuge dump grows. You don't believe me? Throw it around your house. People start throwing their own too. So let's first of all have a thorough diagnosis. I know what you are thinking. Tabakpo, kolisowo. Tabakpo, alikoshosi. Tabakpo, alini clouds. Remember, first question. Kolisowo, who is paying you? Do you know that there's a manager in GTB here? There's a manager of GTB, if it's in Odeda. And they are not paid by Odeda or by Abeokuta. They are paid from the headquarters. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Of course, it needs to work. I measure their matrices quite well, their numerics. But what I'm saying this morning is that the word growth has been misunderstood. And that's what's troubling us today. Let's go to chapter 4, the book of Ephesians. I don't want to run ahead of myself. Let's slow down. I don't want to run ahead of myself. Let's address it step by step. Let's go to 13th Proverbs, verse 12 first. Now, where the problem is this. Let me tell you how God helps us. The way he heals us. This way he heals us. You see, if I'm here and I tell myself, I want to get to that other pillar there. One of the best way I know that I'm going to get there is the farther I go, the nearer I get to it. Am I right? Finally, I will see it there. But if I go that other way there like that, one of the ways I will know is that my hope will be delayed. I will not get there because I'm not going there. Am I making some sense? You see, all of us, we have things we want to do. We have ways to go. But will the ways get there? 13 verse 12, Proverbs. I hope I'm correct. Let's look at the verse. Hope. 13 verse 12, Proverbs. 13, 12, Proverbs. Okay, let's just wait. They're trying to maybe to come. Okay, that's it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I got a friend. I'm going to feel everybody, Ogulano. He was in Ibadan having a church. So he moved to Lagos to start a church. And you know, all you have had, you know, said, I'm going to Lagos. Lagos is a very big place. You're going to have, man, you're going to increase in number. And you know what? By the first year will be 800. Because Lagos, what more now? Just go to Motion. Or Oshodi. Or Agege. The way they are trooping out. So church began. And he was not finding it funny. Then after a while, a year was about to end to do anniversary. So he got scared that what report will he give to his friends who he told are going to have 800. So he said quickly, let's do a crusade. Tabasi Kude, crusade. And when Yakpo, one wally, what is the end of the crusade? Remember the gospel and Jesus? They had a crusade. Guess what happened? They lost one member. They didn't get anybody. But after the crusade, they lost one member. So he started scratching his head. By the way, let me be honest. Can I be honest now? By the way, those who seem to have large number like that, and they did, when you touch the life of those members, when you deal with them, it's as if, you know what I'm talking about? They're not living the Christian life. Am I correct? I want you to be honest. You know what's the use of having all this glory? And can you imagine you go to university and they pass you out? Like my daughter recently wanted to get somebody to come and work with her when she was in Lagos. And then the father is a driver in the company. And I said, please, my daughter want to work. Can you? I said, only BSc. Beside me. My daughter said, okay, we will take her. Come sit down. Ask questions. What do you learn in school? Which course did you do? My daughter said, among all courses, you don't know anyone. He called the father. We can't employ you. For me, that school is a waste of resources. I want us to put ourselves in the shoe of Jesus. What did he come for? So, hope defies, make the heart sick. Please, I'm not here to come and attack anybody. I hope you understand me. I'm talking about myself too. So, number one, let's diagnose this thing. That, what is the problem? Now, let's now talk about some answer. Number one, if you are going to find a headway in all this matter, we must return back to our call with Jesus and the gospel. What is the gospel? Is it about my glory or your star? And just to make me somebody, is that what the gospel is? Hallelujah. Or else, if you plant a seed and you are expecting a harvest of 3 months corn and 3 months pay, oh, re-harvest, two things will have happened. Either you didn't plant corn or the plant died. Because as soon as heaven lives, if it's a corn and it's a good ground, Abeko, how many of you agree with me on that? Thank you. So if you are not getting the result we are after, we need to question what we are actually doing. Number one, I don't think that God sent his son just to get what I've been looking for. Get my church to become glorious and get your life to become shining and you get promoted and move ahead. I don't think that's all he came for. Let me be honest with you. The apostles had the same crisis like this. The apostles joined Jesus because they thought he was the Messiah. Are we everybody? They thought he was the Messiah. And their concept of Messiah is that when he started gathering the popularity all over Galilee, he will head toward Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem, he will challenge the Roman Empire. And then challenge the Roman Empire, he will now put these apostles as the federal ministers to run things. I mean, they are part of the coup. They must get more than the rest of the people. In fact, two of them had a mother that came to Jesus with her two sons. She came to Jesus, fell on her knees to bribe Jesus. He said, I want this, do it for me. Anyhow, Jesus said, what do you want? He said, I want my son, the first one, to be minister of defense, the right hand defense, and to be minister of finances on this other side. The Bible said when the other apostles had, they went berserk. You know why? Because they were interested too. A pastor came to see me recently. He said, I've been doing ministry. I wonder what's good. I said, give up on the ministry. He looked at me. I said, you know what? I gave up on ministry long time ago. I gave up on ministry. Why? No, it's not about ministry. It's about Jesus and the gospel. And the gospel is on the side of the weakest. So here I am as a pastor looking for millionaires to come to church. And Jesus will send the poor, the weak, the lame. Jesus, I don't want that. Praise God. Pastor, you can talk like that because you are building church like this. What the code has left me. You can talk like that now. You can change your mind now. Like, you have gotten all the money, so you can now relax. Pastor Kimbo is laughing because he knows. You know, I remember when we were about to start building this church. I said, Lord, we need money. He said, no, go and preach. I said, preach. Preach. Like, yeah, let me drop blocks. John 12. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's have a restoration of real church growth. And how do we get that? Let's go to John 12. Jesus gave a particular statement I want us to look at. Oh, glory to Jesus. Let me find the verse. He was talking about himself, that when he's lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men. Good. Verse 30. Okay, from verse 27. Let's make it clear. Now, my soul is troubled. Jesus was having great ministry taking place. Now, I mean, people are coming to come and see him from everywhere. He said, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. See, the apostles are thinking that they are going to Jerusalem to go and become big. But he knew that that's not where they are going to become big. That's where you're going to die. Am I right? Look at next verse. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it alone. Again. You know what? The most important article of Christianity is the glory of God. If you emphasize any other glory outside his glory, you are putting yourself against him and he will resist you. He can give you out of his glory. Remember I said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. So, if we are coming, Jesus said, look, everything, I want to glorify your name. The Father said, it's my pastime in time past to do this, and I'll do it again. We'll come to that in a minute. Look at next verse. The people said, stood by and answered and thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Next verse. He answered and said, this voice is not come because of me, but for your sake. Next verse, quickly. Now is the judgment of this world. Now, who of this world be cast out. Next verse, take a look. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, what will I do? I will draw all to myself. This verse has been one of the greatest things that I've ever opened to me in this area. It's saying, look here, yes, you can draw people to your congregation, but they stay at the same level. Crazy, nice, bad, terrible, sinner, thieves, forever. But when you lift me up, I will not only draw them, I will draw them up to be. The glory of Christianity is to be like Jesus. And he says something, taking me, lifting me up. Lifting me up. By the way, can I ask a question? Is not the church called the body of Christ? Is that not true? So what makes the body? The head. And the head cannot be here. That's not a human body. The head must be placed in its place. The consciousness of the body is in the head. I am not saying anything tonight that is this one that's different. I am saying that that person that you receive when you got born again is what matters in Christianity. Am I getting across to you? I want to say, if I'm lifted up from the earth, now that means that everything you are going to do, how will Christ be lifted here? Not how you and your church will be lifted, or the people will be lifted. Don't worry about that. If we lift Jesus up from the earth and show his glory from the cross, it's bound to be sure all of us will be drawn up. Praise God. Clap your hands for Jesus. All of us will be drawn up. Remember when the snake entered the camp of Israel and they were biting them and they came to Moses and said, please help us. Remove the snake. He said, I won't remove the snake. I'll make another snake. A dead one, and put it on the tree, on that rod. And whoever looks at it, though the snakes that are alive are here, but he look at the dead snake, kills the poison of the living snakes. One of my major, I want to spend the rest of my life for, next 30, 40 years, God giving me, I want to so much lift up Jesus that around the world, you know what I came to see? My name can't go far. My reputation can last. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Even something I noticed now. All this thing you're talking about, church, pastor, praying, is all within the four walls. So. When people leave church, sorry to tell you, they don't remember you all the time. They don't remember your church all the time. They don't even decide based on your church. Dakwa, for instance. How many of them have come and say, ah, daddy, because of your church, I will not travel. So, we are now coming to see that that's no longer their real consciousness. And let me tell you why they are traveling. Because Atikpari will go on. They will go somewhere else. It's their lacrosse land. Years ago, I had one man, an unbeliever. All of you know him. Some of you know him. All of you know Colentin. One day I was passing by and we were playing his album. And he was singing, Colentin, you are very great, oh, Colentin, you are. I said, ah. Colentin, so you call it for Colentin, boom, great. Bulaba you divine. So, number one, from the earth will draw all people to myself. Then I noticed that nothing could have bound James, Peter, Paul, Andrew together except Jesus. So I have to step aside for Jesus to be the head. And they themselves too have to step aside. Let me give you, some of you are wondering, I'm really confusing us today. Let me give an example. Can I give an example? Let's take two examples. Number one, finances. God meeting your need, supply, all that thing. How do we present Christ, not just their need and their value? Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, verse 9. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, you see, this is not telling that you have a destiny to be rich. It's not saying that you have been designed for greatness. It's saying that somebody had become bankrupt to bankroll you. Because if you look at your life, when you were born into this world, what did you have? Nothing. Your parents paid for all that school fees. They were bankrupt for your sake. Am I right? Your mom or your dad or both of them, they laid down their money. You know how much you spend in private schools? Paying money. We lost so that you can gain. That's the only way to live on this planet. And the best person has lost for you. His name is Jesus. And it's not just going to give you your star any longer. Your star is finished. It's going to be bright and morning star. It's going to be your star. It's going to raise you up. Praise God, somebody. That makes all the difference. You're going to be a Christ follower. You're going to be his witness. Praise God. The reason why Christ won't come to town and walk down the road and do his hands like this. I say, I want you, amen, Jesus. If he does that, kuni power to. Because it's only one witness of himself. That's why between Bible and Quran, I know where to choose. You see, Quran, written by Muhammad, he wrote everything in the book. So he's the lawyer, he's the witness. Christ never wrote one word in the Bible. The only thing he wrote was on the floor and disappears after the dust blew it up. And over 40 authors, spanning 1,500 years, wrote a book and all about him. When you go to court and one person came out to defend himself, only one person and himself, the accuser. I mean, the accused. And then the other case, 40 witnesses showed up. Which one will you believe? That's why Jesus became poor for our sake. You know, when I was in university, I was struggling with healing. How will I get well? Will God heal me? Then one day, somebody told me, said, Jesus actually took our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Now wait. He said, he took and carried. I just saw right down there that it can never be the will of God to make me sick again. Because if he made the son sick for me, to make me sick again will be a miscarriage of justice. Pastor, if I owe you money and somebody paid, you won't come and ask me again now. And somebody has paid for us. His name is Jesus. Am I making some sense? So, we are not asking you to raise your own fresh glory as a glory shining already. Come and partake in it. It's the glory of Christ. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense? See, a lot of things we have read and we have studied, they are not helping us. We need to come down and know our call. What are you called for? You're called to Christ. You're called to the gospel. And that gospel, Paul said, is the power of God. Am I right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, we have to, first of all, lift this man up. That's the story. You know what? I saw this. Romans 1. What's the gospel? If you are going to make any change in our land, that's thorough. Nothing else. Many of us have become almost like giving out different things that are just teachings of men. Let's look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Wow. The goodness of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first and also for the Greeks. All you have to do with this gospel is not to behave but to believe it. There's too much about behavior today, about believing. Look at next verse. For in that gospel, the righteousness of God, the right of God to help you, to lift you, to change you. It's only the gospel of Christ that gives God right to change your life. God cannot turn a sinner around without the gospel. His only right is because he has shed the blood of his son. Look at next verse. And we have not heard this very well. And no many of us have not heard this. You know why he was announcing about the gospel? Because look at this verse. For the wrath, have you ever heard that before? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Let me warn you. God has revealed his wrath that nothing else will work for you except the gospel. He's going to be against you and stop you and fight you and show you paper. If you don't follow the gospel of Jesus, you can do whatever you want. It's going to frustrate your life. He did it for Jonah. He stopped Jonah at every level. Maybe it's not the devil that's stopping you. The wrath of God, I never had this before. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Anything that's not gospel today, any church, just wait and see. Anything that's not promoting son is blocking it, is stopping it, is rearranging it. So you better be on the right side. For we know the severity, the goodness and the severity of God. Have you ever read that story in the Bible about a parable of a rich man who declared a feast, a wedding for his son? Remember that? And when he invited them, they didn't come. He said, go and kill them. Have you ever read my Bible? Killer say, our wedding now. Our wedding. Clever, powerful. Huh? So, God is erupting on the planet. God is moving all these things in allowing them to come in. Economic crisis. We are talking about shares and cryptocurrency. God just confusion. Boom! On the floor. Follow my son. You have savings. Dollars increase beyond the measure. But we are carrying the good news. Chapter 1, Romans. We read. Look at verse 1. What's the good news? Look at what Paul said. Oh boy, I love this. Verse 1, Romans 1:1. Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated. Pastor Fusho, come. Separated from the rest of you and say, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. I'm giving you over to the gospel. Your whole life is gospel. You wake up, gospel. You sleep, gospel. That's why you are called. The gospel is all your life. Not some teaching somewhere. Not some doctrine somewhere. You are not called to holiness or prosperity. You are called to the gospel. Who sanctifies and prospers. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Pastor, please, you can go back. Thank you. He said, separated to the gospel of God. Are you really sure of your So, do you know your thing very well? Have you seen them hawking for drugs inside car? When I was growing up in Lagos, you know, they come Molue. They come, well, you can hear, you can kill headache, you can kill backache, you can kill forward ache, you can kill leg, you can bonse ekpa jebu. This is bonse ekpa orun. Praise God. Praise God. And all it asks is for you to announce it, and then we do the rest. Come on. Hallelujah. Wow. It's not Federon. This works on its own. Hallelujah. Now, that gospel doesn't know borders. It can blow up anywhere. Praise God, somebody. And do you know that? That gospel doesn't care whether you are 2 or 2,000. It's the same word for every individual. So when you are with one person, you are with 1 million. It's the same gospel. Oh, glory to Jesus. So as a pastor, stop thinking, you're in the clouds. No, you got the gospel, the glorious gospel. So you're called to do. You know, see, if you come to our church, I will start teaching on Tuesday, 5:30. There are about 3 or 4 people in the house. I don't care. It's the gospel. That's the truth, man. If one person can take hold of it, that woman did at Samaria, changed the whole city. Glory to God. I mean, can you imagine? Let me surprise you. A man was having a crusade with the gospel. The gospel was moving powerfully in the whole city. And God grabbed him and said, come out, go to the desert. Huh? To do what? To meet one single individual. No. And he went on there. And guess what? It was in desert. It's hot, blazing sun. And God said, run and catch up with that chariot. You know what chariot is? Chariot is the latest car. And then the guy gathered, can you imagine? An evangelist, a city, Riabonke. The whole town are shaking. He gathered his brother or whatever. And started running. And he got toward the chariot. And he had the man reading the book of Isaiah. God's timing, preparing, making things happen. Wherever you are, whether one person or 2 or 3, God is organizing them to hear the gospel. That's the most important thing on the universe, in the planet today. Your job is the best job in the world. I wish I'm a banker. I want to give me a slicky car. Drive to work. I have some dollars in my pocket. Now I go to get it too. What's this gospel? Next verse, verse 2. What does it say? Which God promised before through his prophet. See, that Malachi to Genesis, they were all promises of the gospel. Next verse. And what? Concerning who? Concerning your achievements? Concerning your ministry? Huh? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. Next verse. And was declared to be Son of God with power. According to what? I saw one verse that used to bother me. It said, the apostles preached resurrection and there was great power in the church. I said, how can I preach to the resurrection? What does it mean? I don't know. Are you like me too? That's the gospel. But that gospel doesn't have power in it. God's not backing it up. I know I'm causing trouble today. But let me be for a while. Now, the gospel, every time we meet, I'm giving some answers here. Now, number one, Jesus must be lifted up. Second, what must be our drive? As we come, as we build church, chapter 1 Colossians, what must be our drive? Let's look at verse 25. Hallelujah. Give us an NLT to make it clearer. I want to make it clearer. Paul was talking here. Listen to this. Paul was talking here. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church. Did you see that? Put your name there. God has given Tunde Amosu the responsibility of serving his church. How? By proclaiming his entire message to you. Let's keep reading. This message was kept secret for centuries and what? Isaiah prophesied, but he never had the gospel like we're having today. But now it has been revealed to who? To God's people. Let's keep on reading. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you, those who are not Jews, too. And this is the secret. Christ. Can we be honest? Can we take 10 members of Nigerian church and they will say, what's your secret? They will say rather, I have my GO's number. My star is shining. I've arrived. God is blessing me. How, boy? I was telling some young people on Sunday. I showed them, first of all, the prosperity of the wicked. And I showed them the prosperity of the righteous. You know what I showed them? You don't believe this. I know these boys, they're looking for money, right? These boys are looking for money. I stood them to Jesus when he rose from the dead. And Peter was confused, so he said, I'm going fishing. So Peter went fishing that night. Only gift, only talent, only skill, only boat. He walked all night, got nothing. When early morning came, hope deferred, make the heart sick. Jesus stood at the seashore and said, boys, that's the word. Boys, have you caught nothing? He said, no, Lord. All night, 12 hours, thereabout. He said, throw your net to the right and you will catch some. I asked them, what is some? They are looking at me. I said, who is the richest man in Abeokuta? If you say some, maybe some several thousand. When Dangote says some money there for you. You won't expect 50,000 now. Dangote. You think of pounds sterling and dollars. If Billy Gates says there's some money there for you, what will you? Pack your bag and leave Nigeria. Because by the way, if you have £2 million, they will give you right now British citizenship. Without any question. I hope you know that. You don't know. All right. Now, if God of glory say, I take some, what will you get? Bible said when they dropped their net, they got 153 fishes. Big, large one. And the net was not broken. Suddenly, the boy that was close to Jesus said, that's the Lord. Peter jumped inside the river out of shame, inside the stream, and started coming down. Now, this is what shocked me most. Everybody, I said this to get up and start clapping. You know, while they were bringing the fish, they've been walking all night. Kenawa, Onje, Abeko. But before they got to the shore, there was a breakfast prepared already. There was a breakfast already with bread. Can you imagine the Lord preparing breakfast? Pastor Funchal, it must be the sweetest breakfast in the world. How did he catch the fish? Don't ask me. Where did he get the bread from? Don't ask me. I know he can speak. Let there be bread. Latest from the best place. And you know what? He said to them, come and eat. Bible said, nobody asked him any question. Then I said, some of the fish you catch, bring it. I don't know. Come and add to it. One guy got up this guy was in his meeting, in Otta. Big church. They were having area clinical for youth clinical. The guy said, what has Christ done for you? On the pulpit. What has Christ done for you?
Let's leave that. Let's talk about Bill Gates. Let's talk about rich man, Elon Musk. Christ and the Bible. What has done for you in the church? You know, I told that friend, I said, if I were there, I'd get up and slap the guy. Honestly. I will slap him so he can wake up, and I'll take Koboko like Jesus did, chase him out of the church. You can say that in the bank, but not in the church of the living God. What has Christ done for you? That's how far we have come. So I want us, we are not through yet. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. Oh yeah. Not your glory, not your star anymore. You are joint heirs with Christ. We were growing up years ago. We sing, we are heirs of the. We are joint. You remember the song? We are children of the. We are family. When last did we hear that song? Next verse, quickly. So what's our, you know, number two. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all. We want to present them to God. Perfect. That's the goal of our church. I want to, you know, as parents, Pastor Kimbo, as parents, we want to let them finish school, get what they, and they can leave our house gloriously. That wherever they go, they can leave. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
We work day and night, carry them to school. Am I right? Take them to school, pay school fees, all kinds of school fees we pay. Why? Because one day they will stand out. You may not be there, but the glory is manifesting. So I want to plead with us. Number two now, we are going to see this, that we are going to connect you with Jesus. The membership now should be membership in the body of Christ. That you can live with Christ. You can walk with Christ. Your finances, when Christ, oh boy, Jesus, when he was dying, he said to the apostles, when I sent you out with nothing, did you lack? Did you lack? I was in one church recently to share with them because of all this present economic crisis. I said, I'm not here to come and tell you that they will give you a raise at work. I'm not telling you. But I'm telling you that your five loaves, Christ can multiply it. He took five loaves and fed 5,000. And when they finished, there were 12 baskets left. So whatever we have now, he can do something with it. That's what we are discussing. This time now, okay, you tell me to go and invest money. How much will I invest? Okay, I want to invest in dollars. After getting 1 million, you know, less than 1,000. But I'm in law. I know where Christ is going. I'm making some sense today. So let's begin to amper on Christ. And if Christ says to them, go and invest money, they will not lose. You know what changed my marriage? You know what changed my marriage? It's not because I got one teaching from one seminar and I paid $500 there. It was the day I saw that love your wife as Christ loved the church. Made all the difference. My wife also saw that. Submit to your husband as the church submit unto Christ. Everything else is a preamble. Everything else is preamble. You know, I was somewhere with some people teaching on marriage, and I said to them, I said, if we love our wife as Christ loved the church, that means we will lead our lives for them. Something I said next, everybody started doing, I said, for instance, if you are three in the house, husband, wife, and a son, and you have two pieces of meat in the pot. Your wife will eat, your children will eat, and you go and sleep without meat as the husband. They say, Christ became poor for us, Abby, as the husband. Everybody said, Then I put a joke on them. I said, all of you claim you are the head. Why don't you eat the head of the chicken? All you men over here, you want ear. The tag, am I right? I said, you are the head now. Eat the head of the chicken. So, that's our drive. Tell yourself, my drive is to present Christ to all, and my drive is to present all to Christ, fully matured. Let's look at that verse, this verse in Amplified Classic. And then I'll just turn, put this to stop. It's been some time, praise God. Reshaping our thought. In Christ, we preach and proclaiming, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insight, all that, that we may present every person what? Mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete, and perfect. You got a job in your hand. And you know what? This will reflect in eternity. Oh, no matter, sorry for me, sorry for saying this, no matter how much you are supplying food, it's only for your belly and for this life. If you are dealing with money, no matter what, naira won't cross over to the other side. Only one thing will cross over, what Christ has done and what the gospel has done. And you have been privileged to carry that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for the gospel given to me. Thank you, Father, for the gospel given to me. Thank you, Father, for the gospel given to me. Oh, it's a glorious gospel. Lord, I will not disappoint you. I will not disappoint you. I will not give up. I will not be tired. I will not be tired of taking this. My best days are still ahead of me. The gospel will go. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Pastor, you have been very theoretical since. Can we get practical? I want to get some few things to be said, and then we'll round up. Then Pastor Akimba will come share with us a few things. Now, listen to this. Jesus said, when you see the war, ears of wars and rumors of wars, don't be bothered. Earthquakes, plagues, he said, they are just the beginning of sorrow. They are not the end. Now, let me tell you this. When will the end come? Christ gave us only one sign. 24th Matthew, verse 14. When will the end come? 24th Matthew, verse 14. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then, so pastors, you are the one slowing down the end. We can hasten the coming of our God. I know that what I'm saying could detest. Could detest. That's something bad about sugar. When you eat sugar like this and eat something else after that one, it spoils the taste. Jesus died, gave his life, and he wants this to be proclaimed. And that's the only thing that can change human beings. Pastor, I'm also a major. I'm what I lay. Pray and one need, 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 say. Tell Basi, pray and one need. Why? Now, think about it. Your fathers in this land did prayer, and their lives never got sorted out. And the same bunch are still coming to you to repeat the same cycle again. When is it going to end? When will Africa, with all its prayer conferences and all the different things that we are doing, that we have to be running abroad? You know, those who are going abroad, you know who are, this is private, you know who I feel sorry for most? Their children. Ah, I've been there. Hush. It's a godless society. Christ is not in the air. You go to school, you should not mention Christ, but you can mention Buddha. You can go on tour as a school. They will not take you to a church. They will take you to a Buddhist temple. Their mothers and fathers, we're talking about Christ at home and in church. But to these boys, it's irrelevant because they are telling them in the class, God doesn't exist. This whole world is a mechanistic theory. And then I tell them, oh, and they are telling them in school, Oluwa exists. That's what we're dealing with. It's a good land, but it heat up, it consumes the inhabitants. And who will? I travel abroad. I come back, feel so sad sometimes before dinner party. Because you sit down with families, sit down with children. And then God is not. Yeah, everything else is there, but you know, there's a hollowness in you. Oh boy. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And that's why we have to bring the gospel now. I'm pleading with each one of us. Now, I know, Pastor, they need prayer. Then go to the prayer meeting, organize prayer meeting, and lift up Christ there. Are you hearing me? Pastor, they want to hear how to make money. Go down there and show how Christ can help Peter get fish to sell and make more money. Is that right? Those books on 10 steps to greatness by Elon Musk or Elon Church, Finyeleno. Let's get before Christ and say, Christ, what do you want in these people's life? And then every service, that's why I'm rounding up now. Every service, every program should be around Christ. We are two or three. What is it next? So all it takes to have a church is two or three. And when it's two or three, you, dear, as a pastor, is the voice for Christ. Several times, I have to change my preaching on this stage because Christ wants something else. Are you hearing me? So, a church that wants to do this becomes prophetic. You just prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare, and when you get to church, Christ will say, do this, do that, do that, do that, do this, do that. Right in the midst of the service, he can do anything he wants to do because he's the owner of the church. You are at best, MC. Are you hearing me? I want us to start looking at our services like that. And then the church growth now must be, how do we grow these people? I saw this verse, I never had anybody quoted it. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Amazing, come and see. About growth. And I started experiencing it. Let's round up. You know, I've always said, Pastor Kimball, come and share with us about love of God, blessing us. Let's take a look at chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Talking about growth and extending our borders. We want to increase, we want to enlarge our work too. But Paul was telling the Corinthians this. Take a look. Chapter 10 or chapter 11? Let's go. Okay, it's chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. Let's read it in a clearer Bible, NLT. Can you look up, everybody? Don't worry. Oh, we wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. Next verse. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will only boast about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. You see, when anyone comes to church and identifies with you, he enters into your boundary. And please, don't engage in the game. Can you say trem? Can you say deeper life? Have you beaten one? You are in your boundary. Say that with me. I'm in my boundary. And you are working within your boundary. But how would that boundary increase? Look at next verse. I love this. We are not reaching beyond this boundary when we claim authority over you. As if I ever said, for we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Next verse. Come and see quickly. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, come and see. We hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our walk among you. So what should grow is faith in your people. When it grows, the church will increase in number. Unlike before, that we just grab them anyhow, push them in, and they don't get it. So let's measure. If you look at Jesus' walk, when he walks on somebody, their hearts are so open, they go to the next person. They go tell somebody else. It's not like they tell, don't tell anybody. I look at the guy and I'm going to tell. Am I right? I mean, you two blind men. He said, don't tell anybody. Why won't you tell anybody? Why won't you? I mean, Sumanu, you walk on me. Emini, close to the Jew. I'm not supposed to anybody. tell me now. You'll be forced to say, Jesus, Jesus. You know? So let's, you have only two, practical, you have only two people in your church, give your possible best, let their faith grow. Stop nagaing. You know naga? Uluwa, on Olumbo. And you already have these ones, work on them. Pastor, but they are going japa. Don't worry about that one. Just make every service to go their faith, to work with God. You know, last week, on Monday, I got a text. Church member. He said, Reverend, I've been inviting this guy to church. He didn't want to really come. He had suicidal thoughts. He's been feeling about things that were going to destroy his life. On Sunday, I was just teaching, and I veered off into Ecclesiastes. Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. It's a puff of smoke about life. When I finish, I got a text from that lady. He said, that person was there, and he said, he would like to meet you. Because the real source of depression is vanity. It's meaninglessness. What's all this? What's my life? And God just graced me that day to say that word was coming in. People, all these things, people are looking at thinking, even the rich also cry now. If you have your wife and children abroad, you know how much you are converting to now. So let's bring Christ. I'm pleading with us. Let's bring Christ. Let's take the gospel. Can I first of all say this to you, practically speaking? Can you go back and take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just see Jesus afresh? Just see. I mean, this person who called you, come and see him. Come and see Jesus. And he told them, when I sent you out, did you like anything? He said, nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ. To proclaim him and to get people perfected in him. Can I ask you a question? I'm working in an office and money is flowing. What's with I steal? You say I don't have conscience. Who has conscience? What's with I steal? Only one thing will hold me back, Christ and his power. And even if I fail, I can still recover because Christ will forgive me. Am I making some sense this morning? Everything is covered in Christ. Pastor Kimbo is coming now. But as he comes, can we all get up on our feet? Remember we read that this gospel of the kingdom will go to all the world and as a witness to every nation. I want to say before the Lord, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. And I want the gospel to be heard clearly. In this my boundary. I want your name to be glorified in this my boundary. I want to contribute my quota to the end time. I want to present the gospel. Can we do that before we sit down? Pastor Kimber will come up. Can we commit ourselves afresh that this gospel will be proclaimed by me? The love that drove Christ to leave heaven to come here. That made him go to the cross, shed his blood. May that love capture my heart again for the gospel. Lord, may I see more than just my church becoming bigger and the people living fine. May Christ be proclaimed high and low, and may life be changed to becoming mature in Christ. Help me, my God. Help me. You have confined me to the gospel, separated to the gospel. I therefore separate myself also. I hand over my life to this gospel. Like Peter said, nothing is worthy of my life except to take this gospel. Thank you, Lord. And tell the devil, you can't stop me. Sickness won't stop me. Lack won't stop me. Troubles won't, because my Lord had overcome all this. Challenges won't stop me. Jesus must be honored. Must be honored. Must be honored. Jesus must be honored. Oh, Jesus must be honored.
Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Please, we may be seated. I feel like just saying we should lift up our voice and ask God for more grace for our facilitator. Let's just ask for more grace. I don't know about you. I saw so many things different. The work this morning is the same work Philip had to do to the man, the eunuch of Ethiopia, who went to church and was going back home still confused more than, and yet, if Philip was sent to him and made his eyes open. I think we had a Philip ministry here this morning. Let's ask God for that grace. And just as we have prayed, I want us also to give thanks to God, because we know we have received something, and we know it is lasting and transforming our lives. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Thank you very much, sir. We must just appreciate you and appreciate your commitment to ensuring that, like the prayer of Paul in the book of Ephesians, Jesus opened physical eyes. There was nowhere you found Apostle Paul opening anybody's physical blindness. But by opening the spiritual blindness and eyes of the mind of people, life become more real. Christ become more real. And even today till eternity, that will still be resonating with us. We want to appreciate you once again, sir. I'm just to encourage us on the love of God. I had an experience a few weeks ago. There's a mother of four that I counsel, and they were having financial issues, and I was privileged to give them some amount to do whatever they need to do because of the financial crisis. Only for her to call me later in the evening crying. What's the problem? Her son, who is about 12, 13, the eldest of the children, he gave him the money to go out and buy some things that we eat. Lost the money. Oh, you said her. And when the boy returned home, in her anger, he started shouting on the boy, talking to him anyhow. By the way, there is a single mother. The boy roared back to her, shouted on her. She says she's crying not because of the money that was lost, but that that boy is speaking back to him that way. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, don't worry. By the grace of God, I send them another money. But I said, do you know something? You cannot lose that son. He said, so what do I do? I'm even tired of him. I don't know. I said, you cannot be tired. I said, you are going to do something. When your anger is doused, when you are more relaxed, and when you see him happy, two things. I say, you yourself, you must first of all be sure that your anger has been doused and you are not going to speak in anger. Then watch him when he is happy. Call him, sit him down, and talk to him in love. Tell him about how much you love him, not about how much pain he has given you. I say, talk about your love. He said, that would be hard. I said, yes. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. But that's the way out. So, 2-3 days later, he called me. He said, when he finished talking to the boy, for the first time, he saw the boy, cried, that he was even the one consoling him, that it's okay. The love got back to the boy. Do you know what age you call him? 13? Going to 14? If you continue that way, you have lost him. And that's exactly what the love of God has been to us. He never want to lose any one of us. There is nothing. I can't forget the way Pastor elaborates Romans chapter 8. 2-3 months ago, or even more than that, the love of Christ. It is the main thing that you must settle first. Please give us a 3 John from verse 1 in Message translation. It is the thing you need to settle. And I love the topic this morning. I'll have the first word, Christian and crisis. It then occurred to me that actually, you don't need faith if things are working. I mean, that's the raw truth. So, maybe we should even tell ourselves that we are called into a life of handling crisis. So, in whichever way it comes as financial crisis, it comes as health crisis, it comes as the ministry crisis, church is not growing, money is not coming. Wow. It's very interesting to understand. Let me tell you something that happened to me 2-3 days ago. I had to visit Federal College of Education. We wanted to be able to have access to the teaching practice, teachers, students, so that they can augment what we have. And I had called somebody who asked me to come. I got there. And because of the location of the school, there's a particular man who was in charge of that location. When I got to him, the first thing that happened, as the person that took me to him introduced me as, this is Pastor Akimbo, the man went on his knees and said, my Father in the Lord, please pray for me. I pray. But as we were talking, I noticed his tonation. This man is from Benue. My father worked in Benue as a pastor, so I picked one or two words of their language. So I said, he himself, permit my long story, please. He himself is a pastor, a reverend also in the Methodist Church, and that's where my father came from. Praise the Lord. So when he started the story of Methodist, and I spoke to him about Methodist, I told him, he said, you are really my father? I didn't know. But that's not where I'm going. He said, but do you know there's something that is troubling me? Because when I see people like you that left and you are still in Christ, you are doing this. I said, no, I'm ambassador of Methodist Church. He now said, do you know something that troubled me? He said, in our church, there are men that have married 3, 4, 5 wives before they met Christ. So they will come to church. We will not allow them to do anything. We will not allow them to hold any post. We will not allow them to take any particular, even those wives, we won't allow them to. But when it is time to raise fund, we will make them the chairman of fundraising. You know, it was, the story was, he said, we will make, when it is time you need something, you need connection, because that man is also the one, maybe he's the director of something in the ministry, maybe he's the chairman, CEO of one company, when you need connection, say, we go to them. But we don't, we nothing happened to their money is righteous, but their life is not. I said, that is the problem of religion. He looked at me. I said, the real truth is, whether they have married 10 wives, they are in Christ. He said, interestingly, their children are the one playing drums. They are the children are the one leading choir. How, you know, why did I share that with you? At times, we look at ourselves from the eyes of religion, not from the eyes of the love of God. Look, I read this again this morning in Message Translation. It's very interesting. It says, the pastor to my good friend. That is where God wants to start with you. Are you his friend? Pastor Musa is my friend. In the last, going to 4 weeks or more now, none of us were able to get to each other. He was feeling guilty. I was feeling guilty. I missed his call. He missed my call. And the time I said, oh, how did I miss? So I called again. He called again. And the first thing we say when we call, Bawuni, how is everything? Not saying that, why did you not pick my call? There will be issues. But the first thing God wants is have a sense of friendship. Your friend is that person you can offend and you can still feel free. Your friend is that person you can walk to and say, oh, Mawa, Kojora, won. Your friend, you know, he came to my house one day and he said, Baole, Shen Kup. He asked it the first time. He asked the second time. When he asked the third time, I knew where he was going. I said, by the grace of God. That is, this loneliness, what is the one that I can tell him. I can call him and tell him, Emma Bino, Omokan Watimu, would you? Hello, sir. The worst he will do for me is, Pastor Kimbo, sit down. Let's talk. You know, you have to be like this. You have, hello. Some people gave me pressure. We have not been able to talk. Some people gave me pressure last week. About 3 or 4 of them. I said, I know the person I'm going to talk to about this. I said, I will go and ask Pastor Amosu, is it compulsory that a widower must remarry? I said, I'm going to ask him. I've not had time to ask him. Say, because the way some people are putting pressure on me, I say, I'm going to ask him, is it compulsory? I can discuss that with him. Why? He's a friend. In fact, you are hearing from my mouth now because I'm talking about a friend. I don't know if you get it. He said, to my good friend, Gaius, how truly I love you. Sir, Elijah called for drought. God said, go away. Go and hide. I will provide food for you. What God provided for Elijah finished. Hello, sir. I didn't say what people gave you. I didn't say what you work for. The brook Cherith that God directed Elijah to dried up. Hello? So why do we think that this thing, what is happening now, I don't even know. And please, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That scripture that says, this is, I wrote it down. I said, thank you. How God can have right to help us? It's only the believing of the gospel. And that Elijah, immediately, God said, okay, I have commanded a widow to feed you. And I think that is one of the things COVID has done for us. Many of us enter the church service. The number you saw is breaking our heart. When will they come? He said, I've commanded the widow, the one that has nothing. And when the widow was going to talk, even, I feel like speaking Yoruba, oh, potion, oh, for sure. He said, as the Lord your God liveth, I don't have anything. The only thing I have, I'm going to eat it with my son and die. If the one you thought you are looking up to for help, for resources, answer you that way, what will be your reaction? How truly I love you. Please scroll up for me. Praise the Lord. That is what this is all about. We are the best of what? Please. I don't know. I'm not saying you don't do it, but please, there are some translations you should read over and over. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, I wanted to sleep. I said, how do I sleep very well? I want to listen to John. Say, which translation? I don't want King James. That what? No. I think I went to NIV, and the thing was playing, and I couldn't sleep again because I was hearing it in a different way. We are the best of friends. You didn't beg him to write this. Please remember, his love is your greatest assurance and pillar and backbone. There is no, hello sir, if you don't assure yourself of his love, you will need to look at other things. You say, and I pray for good fortune. I needed to pay the radio program fee or something like that. And the money was not there. The account in church was wonderful. So the guy called me. I said, I gave him like a 2 weeks notice. I said, within so day, I will get it done. I got to church. I said, our radio program, by the grace of God, is going on very well. But you want to be part of it? I said, and I'm not announcing it more than this. So this is all. In fact, it came while I was preaching. Not even, say, that is all. Sir, by the time I checked the account, all I needed was there. And that was the day attendance in church was like, And there was no repeating of that. In fact, God so organized that the next 2 Sundays, I was not in church. So there's no way to announce anything. I pray for good fortune in everything you do. Everything. Please. This is the time. I love the topic, the first words are crisis. So crisis is not our trouble. In fact, if you will not mind us saying this, crisis is our friend. I have people today that will call me. Sorry, I've not been able to see you for some time. I said, how is everything? In fact, I was not in church Upper Sunday. One minister of God in this town who has been saying, he wanted to just come round to fellowship with us, came round. I was not in church. And what did I meet? He told them God asked him to raise funds for me from them. I won't do that. He took my friend to come and set up a committee in church to be taking care of pastor. Thank you so much. They are still doing their work. Praise the Lord. Maybe God purposely sent me away and purposely brought him, because if I was around and he's saying it, I would say, sir, stop, stop. Praise the Lord. But he said, in everything and for your health, that your everyday affairs. You know, at times, some of the things that affect us as minister of the gospel is what the French people call deja vu. I've read it before. No. Hear it again. Just settle down. He said, in everyday affairs, what will you do? Prosper. But he said, as well as your soul, your emotions, your feeling. God have emotions. That's why he can be angry. That's why he can be happy. So if certain things are torturing you, remember, there is a God that you can run to. One of the scriptures I love so much is that scripture in Hebrew that talk about we have a priest who is touched with our infirmities. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I've given Pastor Akimbo a standing order. Just come talk to us about the love of God. His love manifested in sending his son to the cross. Hallelujah. I use this example a lot. I said, if you have two cars, a Benz Jeep and a B2 of 1985, if your Benz gets into problem, you won't mind selling the B2 to repair the Benz Jeep. But if the B2 gets sick and you sell the Benz Jeep to repair the B2, of you are laughing already. That's unreasonableness. That's the unreasonableness of God. We are the Beatles, broken, battered, broke. And he took his Benz, his only son. You know what Pastor just did? He just put the finishing touch on the gospel. I was telling our church members recently that many of us never understood the book of Jonah. Jonah, when God says to go to Nineveh, you don't know why he didn't want to go. He knew that if he will preach, they will repent. And he didn't want them to repent because there is a national hatred between the Jews and the Nephites. I'm not making this up. It's there in the book. I tell you, it's there toward the end. You see there. So he knew that if he never opened his mouth to preach, God won't have a chance of getting them to turn. So he took off from Nineveh and headed toward Tarsus. And God set up all the trials, the crises, to get him back to Nineveh. But you see, I can beat you up, but if it's inside of you, it will still show up. So when he got to Nineveh, he preached out of, I cannot go anywhere else. He has stopped me, tracked me, brought me here. And you don't know the reason why he hated the Ninevites. They were very heartless people. They will come to Israel or anywhere they attack. They will slash open pregnant women. They will take children and smash their heads on the wall. What will be your prayer? Are you hearing me? So he finished preaching after 40 days. Bible said he went to go and sit outside to see what will happen to the city. And God, true to his type, nothing was happening. So he was angry. He was angry. So God made a plant to grow overnight. And the plant covered his head. Now, by the way, he was bald-headed. And he was enjoying it under God just made it. And then overnight, God sent a worm to eat up the tree. I don't know how God did that. God now increased the intensity of the sun after removing the shade. And the man is bald-headed. He was so it struck that he nearly passed out. And God said, why are you angry? Go and check. He said, I'm bound to be angry. I think he had a way with God. I was just not normal, you know. He was a friend of God. But where I'm going is this. God said, why are you angry over a plant? I got 120,000 people in Nineveh and their cattle. That's where the book ended. Hallelujah. I believe that the world has been going so bad and you have been given the gospel. Let's love our Lord enough. Let's go do it. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. If we can appreciate this love, like Pastor said, Because the death of Jesus will make so much meaning in our lives. Let's do it. By the way, let's go to our friends. Are we ready? Luke 11. Wait, Pastor Paul is, please stand up, sir. When I was talking about him, Pastor Paul was in town here. I call him Apostle Paul, you know. Then he left the church in town, traveled, just my next door neighbor before he left. And Pastor Akesa is over the church now. But he moved to Ibadan, thinking of going to Port Harcourt. And then he wound up in Ibadan, and then God started using him to hold some crusade, healing, deliverance all over the place. And he came to see me some couple of weeks ago. And when I started with him, I just sensed, right down there, sitting down there, that this is a man that God has gifted with the ministry of miracles and healings to our land. So he said he's coming to town. And of course, Pastor Buddy was there to have a good time. They'll be coming back once in a month to minister and do that as God gives him ability. Let's give him our support. Don't worry, he won't take your church members. He's a man on the move. I believe that you can send people down there to minister to them. We will get more of the days when he'll be coming. They had one at Baptist conference over here. The place was, one woman told him, come and tell me what the woman said. She was passing by, I saw the signboard come.
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. The woman, after the meeting, told me, said, Eba wa pariwe, Eba wa pariwe, pariwe, si bu bu bu, Aba ukuta ki bu guayye wa si bi yi, Anto lon shi nwa yi, Unkwea, unde nkoja lon kon riba na o, Kwe lunde, utokpun ma wa, unde wa, Ha, pariwe, ine Eba wa pariwe o.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. It's a lovely brother, he's been in town over here. You know, his daughter is my daughter. His daughter is my daughter. Tonight he's married with kids now. And so glad to hear what God is doing. So let's go do that. I want us to do something right now. You can sit down, please. I want us to do something now. It's a strange place in the Bible. There's a place where Christ described prayer as father and son, right? If you're any of you, your children ask for bread, will you not give him some? But there's a story I want us to read, and we're going to pray right now before we eat. Luke 11, verse 3. I want us to pray. Glory to Jesus. Okay, I think that's far ahead. Let's go to verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying, that's Jesus himself in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So, Jesus was praying, certain place. And when he stopped, I don't know who came and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Then he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Then after that, is it verse 4 now, verse 5 or verse 6? Let's see. Next verse. And he said to them, which of you shall have what? Not a family now, but a friend. And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, do what? Lend me. I'm not coming to come and ask for myself. Lend me 3 loaves. And what's that next? Next verse. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have none to say before him. Look at this scenario. Let's read some more before I see what I want to say. Next verse. Will he not? And he will answer from within and say, don't trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. You see, this is not father and family. This is friend. Am I right? Now, and this is a little bit of different friendship. I have a friend who comes to me at night and I don't have what to give to him. And I go not to my dad, I go to my friend. And say, lend me 3 loaves. So that this friend who had come, I want us to go to the father now as friend. He's our father, we know that. But are you friendly enough with Abeokuta? Are you friendly enough with those who are lacking around us? I'm surprised. 3 loaves for the spirit, for the soul, for the body. It covers every side. Can we come and plead for our friends in this city. When Pastor Kimball mentioned the woman with four children, my mind went straight to single parents. Straight to single parents. He said after, the single parents. They are all over the place in our city. Some of them, their husband is not dead. They are just abandoned. There are men that want to perform, but they just don't have it. And they are crying in them. I want us to stand up for them. I want us to say, Lord, I'm coming for... Can we just embrace these men and women in our city? Before we go to the Father, let's say, Lord, Lord, I want to identify with these men and women. I want to identify with these men and women. The strugglers. I know you have your own problem too. I know that. But you are a pastor here. You can see, you know the needs that you are facing every day. Can you say, Lord, I'm asking for extra grace. Lend me extra grace. Lend me. Are you seeing those who are sick? Lend me the healing grace. Lend me. Lord, lend me some money to solve these problems around here. Lord, I'm concerned about these men and women. I'm concerned. These homeless, these hungry masses of men in our city and women. Lord, I have compassion. I receive compassion. I welcome compassion afresh into my eye. I welcome eyes open to see. Oh, Father. Just open your eyes a minute. God has been talking to us about you can never really solve people's problem without compassion. Yeah, we can stretch our hands, that's right. But if our heart is not there, I want us to actually pray that our heart be open to men more. Open to their need. Let's just pray. God, Lord, help us to see. Before we can get to what to use, our heart must be moved first. If our heart is not moved, our hand will not be moved. Our mouth will not speak the right word. Father, I pray that my heart be enlarged. My heart be enlarged to accommodate more than my own struggle. Jesus had this problem with Pharisees, but never stopped him. He had this problem with disciples, but never stopped him to have enlarged heart for the people. Said, I see them like sheep without shepherd, restless and worried. Oh, Father. Lord, I know that you are the answer for them, but they are not saying it. And I'm coming as their friend today. I'm coming to you, Father, as their friend. Lend me sufficient bread of life for them. Lend me loaves. Oh, sisters here, pray. Brothers here, pray. Men of God, pray. That your ability will be enhanced. Oh God, we pray. Let them see us. Let us see them. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You know, we just pray for this land. Becoming friendly with this land. I know something about Paul. All his letters will conclude with greet. If you look at the book of Romans, he never been to Rome before. But the kind of greeting, that means he loved them. He was their friend. Even their parents, you say, and the mother. Have you seen that before in the Bible? Greet Kenneth and the mother. I was praying recently. I said, Lord, please, can I do more? Can I touch more life? But I know I don't have much, but can I do more? I just wish I could do more than what I'm doing now in touching lives. And I've seen strange things happen. Strange things happen. I'm coming to see that people are trying, but it's not enough. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. You said they should go and work, but it's not enough. I saw one young man like that came to my office. He's having a child. He had two kids. Just a young man. He's working, but couldn't pay the children's school fees. He's working. He's working almost 12 hours a day. Let's lift up our voices and say, Father, Lord, use us. Use me. Lord, put resources in my hand. Put grace in my heart. Put utterance on my lips. And direct my feet and direct their feet so that we can meet. Lord, direct their way to me and direct my way to them. I can see God on Sunday morning sending people to our different churches because of what he has put in our lives. And say, Father, Lord, we ask you, bring to our lives, bring to our situations, bring to our church the resources we require to satisfy this land. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Finally, can we lift up our members in our church, whether they are 2 or 30 or 40, and say, Father, turn us into a mighty army. Turn us into a mighty army. Turn us into a mighty, whether they are 2. See, that woman was a mighty army with Jesus at the well of Samaria. Lord, turn us to a mighty army. Turn us into a mighty army. Please, please, open your eyes. Forgive me for interrupting you. You know, I just said that word, mighty army. I didn't know what I was saying until God said to me, listen to what you said. He said, the valley of dry bones became the mighty army. They are dry. People that are looking at the church now, so they are dry. They don't have anything going for them. But you know what? God said, they become a mighty army. They are becoming here. We say, Lord, turn us to a mighty army. Of course, it will involve your prophetic speaking the word to them. But Lord, turn us into a mighty army. That this valley of dry bones in our assembly, turn us to a mighty army that will go spread your hope in our land. Whether they are 2 or 20, whether they are 30. There was this mighty man with David that could stand and defeat 800 men. Mighty men of David. Lord, turn us into a mighty army in this land. Along with you. You cannot do everything. Those men, those women around us, those even looking on serious, turn us into a mighty army. Financial mighty army. The gospel preaching mighty army. Prayer mighty army in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We trust you that you are turning us. We receive the transformation of our churches. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Finally, let's pray this prayer. You see, something Paul said, I went up by revelation. I noticed something about church. When you have revelations of what to do, it's so easier than calculating. I want you to ask the Lord for revelations to come to you heavily. Heavy revelations. I don't mean splitting scriptures, but what to do, how to go about it, where to say, things to do, program to hold, things that you just see. Say, Lord, give my eyes to see. Reveal to me what to do with that person, what to do with that issue, what to do with that problem, what to do with that program, what to do with that project. Lord, reveal to me. I ask for your revelations of direction, of resources, of guidance. Oh, Father, thank you for revelations. Even of preaching, of sharing, of teaching, revelations. Let them become part. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Makatala dista brelike nabalaka shedabayaka. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You know, sometimes I have a very funny feeling. When I'm praying like this, so I'm listening to God at the same time. God was telling me that, look here, this is important. And he showed me this verse when we were praying. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, verse 6. He said that, he said, if you are going to profit people and profit people as a minister, he said, bring to the forefront revelation. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you? Either by what? First, revelation. Second, by knowledge. Third, by prophesying. And then lastly, by teaching. It's good to teach and prophesy and have knowledge. But the first thing there is revelation. What's revelation? You know that God can heal, but you know by revelation that that person will be healed today when you lay hands on him. That makes all the difference in the world. You know that God will supply all your need, but God will tell you, relax, tomorrow morning, that money will come. That's revelation. Listen to us, Father, we welcome revelations. Revelations, revelation, we put it on the top. Oh, what to say? God will tell us, somebody's coming next Sunday. Say this kind of words. When you get up to prepare for your sermons, preparation will be laid aside and God will give you what to say. Oh, we pray for revelations. Revelations in abundance. Revelations in abundance. Particularly in our utterances. We put priority on revelation. Not just talking alone and talking knowledge. Prophesying is good. Knowledge is good. Teaching said revelation. You see what to say. You see it. Oh, hallelujah. You know that man prayed, said, Lord, open the eyes. Open his eyes. Open our eyes, Father. Open our eyes to see the angels surrounding us. Open our eyes to see the resources available to us. Open our eyes to see the hearts and souls of men. Abraham said, it shall be seen on the mountain of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. It shall be seen. Provision means to vision, to vision it. Hallelujah. 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 Finally, let's prophesy over our different churches. Say over those churches. Flesh and bones come together. Flesh and bones come together. Flesh and bones. Dry bones receive life. I know what you are struggling with, like I know what I'm struggling with in our church. Lord, I speak life to the dry bones. I speak flesh to cover the bones. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, make a foreya matala prekeshida labara lekatra labashuta para patale kadeleya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that. I received that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just heard this verse. We know it. All authority in heaven and on earth. And I heard the Lord say, enforce that authority in your area. He said, I enforce the authority of Christ. Idiaba, I enforce the authority of Christ. I enforce the authority of Christ. I enforce the authority of Christ in our environment, in our churches, in our assemblies, in our meetings. I enforce the authority. Master Jesus, rule and reign. Have your way. Show yourself. We give no other place. We give no other person authority except you. Lord, we declare authority over Idiaba, over Abeokuta, over whichever area you belong to. I declare the kingdom of God. I declare the authority of Jesus. It shall reign. It shall reign over families and homes and schools and places and hospitals. It will reign in the heart of men. Jesus, take your throne. Take your throne. Take your throne. That the heart of men will bow to you. Families will bow to you. Individuals will bow to you. We enforce the authority. Said, behold, I give you authority. That take authority over evil spirits in those areas. Foul spirits, serpents and scorpions in that area, I take authority over you. I come to shine the light of the gospel. Darkness, you are no longer prevailing. Whoa, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Say glory to Jesus. Amen. One pastor, one time he was praying in his church, he was just praying, things are just going on. He said, he started fasting, praying. One day just saw the top of their building, saw this big bully demon. He said, come out and run out. The thing ran across the road, entered a hotel. Second day, the hotel burned down. Are you hearing me? We are not content with flesh and blood. Sometimes this work we are doing is just struggling. It's actually the enemy trying to make things difficult for us. And I just want us to, I just sense that together we break the power of hell. He said, the church of God shall be the church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. He said, the rulers of the darkness of this world will not have their way. In the name of Jesus, we will have successful work in this land. The Lord will raise the standard through us in this land in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's take charge. Let's take authority. Let's take authority. Let's take authority over powers that hold men. That hold men and women. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus must reign. You remember, it's the gospel of Jesus here. We enforce the authority of Jesus over evil spirit, over power. In my name, they shall cast out devils. We restrain you in our areas. Foul spirit, darkness, power. We stop you from having your operation carried on. In the name of Jesus. We release men and women. We release men and women out of your captivity to find Jesus, to come to church, to grow and mature and know Jesus. And be a blessing to their world. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are giving us authority. And we're going to use it to your name. All authority. Say, go, therefore. Go, therefore. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makatara dish to Breyana Katala Nika Prala Dista Telamara Kilambra La Shuta Fayana Marama Kashtiba Yamara. Hallelujah. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, be bold, be strong, be assured that I will come to your aid. Don't act as if I'm not coming. I'm coming. And I will do my work in your midst. So expect me and be fully assured I will do what I say I will do. I will do what I say. He said, come with your heart. By your faith, you will receive it. So by your attitude, say, I know, be bold, be bold. You are two or three or four, be bold. Be assured that I'm going to come. I'm going to come, praise God. Be bold. Be bold, be assured. Be bold. Be bold, hallelujah. Be bold, hallelujah. I just remember something right now. When God said it should be bold. I remember when we started our church. The first Sunday we had our church, one of my friends was around. He said, Reverend, all this crowd we see, they will not come next week, and they may not come, things may not happen. I felt bad and I went to him. The Lord said, be bold. Remember that now. He said, people will come. People will come to church. And I noticed that when I get that, I'm just remembering now when I was talking, when I get that bold, people show up. When I start begging and pleading with God, please, Oluwa, Bunawa, can you come? It's as if I'm not walking along with him. In fact, when they say somebody's going, tell me about church, I said, people will come and replace them. Yes, just say that. Just bold. Because he that's with you will keep his word. He will keep his word. Praise God. Can we just take somebody's hands beside you and say, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the blessing that each of us is participating in today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for calling my brother. Thank you for calling my sister. Thank you for calling my uncle here. Thank you for the call of the gospel. Thank you, Lord. 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 And we shall be bold in this land. We shall go forward. We shall increase. Of the increase of his government and his kingdom, there will be no end. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We are going to eat now. We are going to eat now. But I'm sensing that is still there. That God, you remember Anna? Anna was crying for a baby for years. Anna was crying for a baby for years. But she just changed her attitude. Eli said, go. Prayer is answered. Don't forget that Eli is a backsliding priest. Don't forget that. But he just said, your prayer is answered. She went home no longer. Please, don't be sad anymore. Yes, over your church. Yes, don't be sad anymore. Don't be sad anymore. Stop thinking, when are things going to pick up? Call those things. Things are picking up. Things are picking up. Things are picking up. You will have all the money you need. You have all the help you need. Yeah, they have gone. More will come and replace them. Now say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself now. They are coming. Many more people are coming. See, you said, by your word, you'll be justified. By your word, you'll be condemned. Justify yourself with these words. More money is coming in. More help is coming in. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then believe that what you are saying will come to pass. and you will have what you say. What you are saying, believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it. Oh, hallelujah. 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 These are the days men are looking for churches because things are difficult. And they come and they are coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Set your eyes away from those who have gone. No, 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 no. Bless them. Can I encourage you? Get online and bless them. Hallelujah. But you know what? More are coming in. We are over 20 million in Nigeria. Those who have left, they're not up to 10 million yet. So you have about 190. And they are coming in. They are coming into us. Pastor, do I need to grow more? Do I need to be somebody? Just the way you are now, be bold. Preach that gospel, preach Christ. We'll see it in Jesus' name. Sit down, let's eat our food. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came here today. I don't know about you. I'm glad I came here today. Pastor Peace is having a camp meeting starting today. Pastor Joaquin will be there. My wife will be there. Hallelujah. So that's why it's not around. I miss Pastor Peace much. He's the summarizer. Praise God. Okay. All right. Pastor Kimbo. Pastor Balogun is not around too. Pastor Balogun's wife is going to be 60 Saturday. Are we all invited? We are all invited.
We are all invited and we are coming to celebrate with him because we are celebrating with you shortly in the name of Jesus. Please, if today